All right, so the first session was about gospel-centeredness, that we want our parenting to be gospel-centered, God-centered. And so the second session, we want to talk about loving and serving our children. And both of these two are laying. We don't want that. Thank you. Both of these two sessions are laying some foundation for tomorrow, where we're going to talk about some more practicality and discipline and instruction. And so to kick off loving and serving our children, we're going to play a video again.
Mama, I want to eat too.
Oh, Mommy will get you some honey.
Hey, Rosie. Good morning.
Oh, got a notice yesterday. Gas and electric.
Come on. Okie dokie. There we go. I'll get the milk.
Well, I think there's some left over. Yep.
You know, I got that fight tonight at the Armory. Yeah, one guy, Abe Feldman. He's $50 win or lose.
Oh, that's good.
If I beat him, maybe I can get my purses back up to 75.
That would be great.
Rosie. Here's your fork, please.
Who needs a cow, huh?
Mama, I want some more.
Oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart. You need to save some for the boys. Here you go.
You know, May, I dreamed last night that I was having dinner at the Ritz with Mickey Rooney and George Raft.
Really?
Yeah. I dreamed I had a steak. Thick, juicy steak. Like this, Rosie.
Wow.
And then I had a mountain of mashed potatoes. And I went back for ice cream 3 times.
Oh.
I'm stuffed. I'm absolutely full. I cannot eat another thing. You want to give me a hand?
Jim. Jimmy.
Russell Crowe, everyone. So we wanted to talk about loving and serving our children because the gospel does say that God is an authority and he's delegated authority to parents to raise their kids. And yet, this authority that's given to us is not given to us for our own good. It's given to us so we can bless our children. We're not taking this authority and this responsibility and filling some hole within ourselves, but we're using it to bless our kids. So oftentimes nowadays you'll see maybe people having kids, you know, much later in life than even 10, 20 years ago. And sometimes reasons that are giving why have kids is, well, you know, I got to have my fun when I was younger, and now there's something missing in my life, and so I want to have a kid, I want to have a child to fulfill some hole in my own life, and yet the Christian view should be, God fulfills all of our holes. God fulfills what we need. He is all we need, and so when we have children, and we are to steward them, steward the responsibility that God's given us. It's for not our good, but for our kids' good. So there's a verse in the Bible that says, no one should look to their own interests, but the interests of others. That applies to parents that applies to us, that we're not using this authority to fulfill something that we're lacking, but we're using it to bless our kids. Does that make sense? Plus, that's a great movie. So, you know, it's just good. So I wanted to start off by talking about this principle of God giving authority to bless. Got a few scriptures here. We're going to start out in Matthew. And Jesus was the perfect example of this. And in Matthew 20, he taught, and he was teaching his disciples. And his disciples obviously lived in the world, and they understood how most authority worked, that those that were in authority benefited from those under their authority. And Jesus said it this way. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." And so Jesus did this perfectly, that those who he had authority over, even though they're not perfect and they screwed up and they did things wrong all the time, he came to serve. He came to bless. If you remember on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." Constantly, he wanted those under his authority to be blessed by his authority. And he kind of set this in motion that to his disciples, okay, when you lead somebody, don't do it like the world does it, where they're getting benefit from those that they're over authority. So if you're a boss in a workplace, even though you have authority, don't use it to be the benefactor. Serve those under your authority. That's how you should lead. That's what a Christian life should look like. And so when we have children, even though we're not putting our children at the center, we're not revolving our lives around our children, we're revolving them around God. If we rightly center our lives around God, it's going to result in a life lived to serve our children. Okay? That's going to be part of the outflow of that. So I had a couple verses where Paul talks to people that he discipled. Paul was not married, so he didn't have biological children. But people that he would lead to Christ and disciple, he'd often say he was their father. And so he would relate it to good fatherhood of what he did to those that he led towards Christ. And so here's a couple examples that I think that we can take then and see, well, this is what a good father, this is what a good parent does. So the first one's in 2 Corinthians 12:14. So he's coming to the Corinthians for the third time, and he says, "Here for the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children." So this isn't a teaching about money, but it's a principle that the children aren't the ones that are supposed to be there to bless their parents, meaning I don't have 5 kids so I can boss them around and do all the things I want them to do, even though I like when they mow the grass. That is convenient, okay? And honestly, I do it to teach them responsibility, okay? It's the only reason. But yet in my heart, I can't have these things where I'm saying, you go do this, you do that, I'm the one in authority, I'm taking responsibility for you, but really, I want you to just make my life easier and make it better. And many times we can have that heart attitude, maybe when we come and our kids do something, we're thinking, well, why aren't you making my life better? Why do I have to be the one to serve you? Well, we're in responsibility. We have the responsibility. We're in authority. And God has taught us that we are to use our authority to bless our kids. Next one. One of my favorite verses relating to parenting in 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12. For you know that, so this is him talking to another group of people, the Thessalonians, and he's explaining how he dealt with them when he was with them. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. I love these things that he says a father should do for his kids. Because it's not just starting with the discipline or the spanking or whatever else, or the rebuking, which all is going to need to happen because their kids are sinners. But he's saying, as a father should deal with his children by encouraging, by comforting, by urging our children to live lives worthy of God, to take help them take whatever they're doing and push them higher. And so responsibility is given and authority is given so that we might help our children, lead them, guide them, bless them, even say kind words to them, not curse them. We are there to help them, to bless them. So the big idea is that parents are to bless their children, not the other way around. So here's a scenario. If kids aren't behaving, if they're young, they're whining, maybe they're not cleaning up, you're telling them to clean up, they're not doing it. Or if they're older, you know, they're not helping around the house, they're fighting with each other. And so option one, maybe if we don't have this view, that we are to bless our kids and that they're not there for our good, we're there for their good, we might start to think, well, my kids aren't like other kids. You know, if my kids only did such and such, things would go so much better around our house. And it's all their fault. They should be good Christian kids. You know, they go to Sunday school. And so we get this attitude of thinking, well, our kids are there to serve our interests. They're there to bless us. And so what it can lead to is, and I've been there, where you start to get angry because we're getting the short end of the stick. Well, I'm serving these guys. Why aren't they helping out? Why aren't they doing the things that they can do? Or we start to lash out, let that anger lash out. Man, why don't you guys get together? Because we're expecting under those under authority to bless us, just like Jesus said the Gentiles do. The Gentiles, they are the benefactors when they're in authority. They expect to get the good end of the stick. Now, option two, maybe if we understand this, we look at Jesus' example. They're young, they're whining, they're not helping up around the house. And granted, this needs constant putting ourselves in that right mindset. You know, this is not easy. But to realize whatever is going on there is ultimately because of sin nature, but also as somebody in authority and has that responsibility to think, okay, there's something going on there. There's a deficiency in some way. What can I do, taking responsibility to help them to see this, to push past this, to understand this? So instead of getting angry because we're getting the short end of the stick, we understand, okay, I'm here to bless. What can I do to then serve them, to lead them, to guide them? We don't want to let them stay in that sinful behavior. And then the second thing this could result in is saying, okay, there's something going on here. Instead of shrinking back and saying, they're just not getting it, they're not like other, you know, kids, whatever, they should be getting this together, we've gone over this. Instead of stepping back and maybe getting discouraged, it allows us to step up into responsibility when things aren't going wrong, where things aren't going right, and say, okay, now I need to take it a step farther. I need to help them even more than I've been helping them. So here's some practical examples in our household. Our youngest is four, and I'm in the ripe old age of 35. I can barely walk anymore. It's rough. And so like many families, we've realized that we've disciplined the least for our youngest. And so our youngest is whinier than every other kid we've had. And so I can find in my heart, in my mind, thinking, man, she's just whinier than my other kids. You know, what's her problem? When in reality, her sinful nature and sinful behavior is a deficiency on me, because I haven't been leading her and guiding her and disciplining. And so now I have to step up into that responsibility that I haven't been taking. And I have to refocus. And oftentimes we're saying, okay, we got to refocus here. We got to step up into this responsibility that we've been lacking. Another example, our older kids love the video games. They really like it. And so we have two iPads. We have, you know, they have iPods, and sometimes they can constantly want to be on that, you know, over and over and over again. And I can find myself again saying, "What, you know, oh, you know, they should want to serve and love people. You know, that's the Christian thing." And maybe get frustrated, but the reality is I've allowed that behavior, or I've even encouraged it or whatever else, and allowed them to be doing things that aren't good in serving Christ and serving one another, and selfishness. I've allowed them to fall into those habits. And so I have to then step into that responsibility, refocus, and realize I'm there to bless them, to lead them to Christ, to, if it takes discipline, discipline. If it takes teaching, teaching. And refocusing. Did you want to use an example? I don't know.
Well, I think I have a lot of examples of this, but, you know, like, unfortunately, when our kids have gotten into bad habits, or, you know, just really struggling with sin in an area, it usually takes, like, where it gets really bad for us to notice sometimes, because we let things go. You know, like even for me with some of my kids, I'll just like let certain behavior go and just not really take care of it right away. And it's when it gets so bad that like I can't stand it anymore. And especially I have three boys who are the oldest. And what has been going on in our house lately is when I ask for something to be done, they have a really hard time staying on task to actually get the whole thing done and finished. So I realized that I've allowed my kids to do that, but I didn't notice till it was like driving me nuts, where I would like physically hand my one son, who is typically has a hard time staying focused anyways, and I'd be like, take this belt, put it in your room in the back of the closet door. And he'd be like, uh-huh. And I'd be like, did you hear me? And he's like, uh-huh. I'm like, go do it right away. And then I'll get doing something and I'll walk downstairs and I'll find the belt halfway between where I told him and on the floor. And I was like, you need to come here. But I've realized that I've allowed the behavior to go on where it's just gotten so bad, and it's happened where, you know, it's just like, but it's going to take me. I can't just be like, that kid, he doesn't get it. Well, I haven't even been a good parent to him when I allow it, you know, that way. It's not loving him. He may be a kid who is more prone to that, but then all the more do I have to step up and serve him in discipline and teach and instruct him in that time. Because I don't want him to stay in the rest of his life. The older he gets, the harder it's going to be to get out of that habit. So, I mean, there's many examples in parenting. Like he was saying, even with Eden, I know probably a lot of you moms, you get a phone call and all of a sudden it's like, and they need something instantly when you're on the phone, and you're like, oh, be quiet, I'm on the phone, you know? And they're like, you know, and I was just like, you know, you cover the phone, you'll be like, if you don't stop, you're not going to spank it. You know, or like, stop it. I mean, I've even walked over and taken my spoon out and hold it up. And then they're, you know, kind of, but they continue on. But the thing is, a lot of times when we see these things, if we don't take care of the things right away, and serve our kids in those ways. Like sometimes even for me, I need to learn, okay, I'm on the phone. Okay, you interrupted. This kid's not getting it when I'm on the phone. Don't interrupt. That I need to put down the phone and say, I'm sorry, I need to go. Put down the phone. I'll call you back later. Like right away. And take the time to serve your kid and teach them, which this is one area that I always have to remind myself to do these. And usually it gets so bad where you're like, whoa, this kid has no respect for me when I'm trying to have a conversation with somebody. And take the time. And then usually if you take the time, it may take multiple times. Some kids learn quickly. Some kids are very stubborn and it takes a long time. But eventually they'll learn, when my mom is on the phone, I need to wait till she's done. And I mean, that's like Shane was saying with our fifth. Unfortunately, we're taking a little bit longer to see those things, and then we have to like get a whole new way of looking at it, and then go back. And you know, thankfully, the Lord is gracious in that and lets us see it. But anyway, so that's a couple examples of that. But that we have to be willing to serve. That means it's going to take time. It's going to take us stopping what we're doing and seeing the need in our kid and taking and being willing to serve the kid in that. So just working that, what I was saying is parenting is hard work. Parenting, especially when our kids are little, it takes a lot of physical work. It takes a lot of caring for our kids, changing diapers, getting them to bed, you know, being up at night. It takes a lot of work. And sometimes, you know, we want to try to take the easy way out. You know, I think even like Shane was saying with video games in this day and age, our kids are movies, or there's so much entertainment. And usually, like, I don't know if your kids aren't like this, but my kids, when something is on, they're just gone to the world. I mean, you know, and like, especially Eva. And I'll be like, Eva, you know, and there's just nothing. I mean, I physically sometimes have to grab her. So let's just say sometimes it would be easier when I'm trying to get something done to put Eva in front of a movie because, hello, babysitter, there you go. But when I'm asking her, you know, to do something or to play quietly or to read a book for a while and she can't do that, it's choosing to teach your kids like those. Not saying it's wrong to ever let your kid watch a movie or play a video game. I'm not saying that. But we know, I think you know what I'm talking about. If we are being lazy in our parenting, choosing the easy way out instead of trying to instill things in our kids that are going to last forever, that, you know, we have to be willing to do the hard work and things. And it comes in a lot of things. When it comes when they're little and you're tired at night and your kid keeps coming out of their bed and you've told them, it takes getting up. It takes getting up again, and it takes getting up again and again and again. A lot of times until you've taught that kid to listen and obey and you instill something in that kid. You know, and it's hard work, but it's worth it. A kid who's disciplined and served in a way that God has called us to do, you will see fruit in that kid as they get older. Not always when they're little. Unfortunately, it takes time. You know, and sometimes you see those things right away, but sometimes you see it. It's just, we have to be willing to do the hard work. You know, I mean, anything that produces something good usually takes hard work. It's just the way it is. If you want to see good things, it takes hard work. If you want to, you know, make money at a job, it takes hard work. You know, it's to get anything in the end, it usually is a lot of hard work in the beginning, but it's awesome when you see it, you know. But it's so parenting, it's worth it to not want the easy way. And we were saying too, another thing we're talking about this as we're going through this is, you know, at night, a lot of times it's like, let's quick get the kids to bed so we can just like have all this time. And it's like, so I'll be on like, brush your teeth. I said, brush your teeth, get in bed. You know, like it's like, it's so selfish because I just want my me time.
You know, you
I
guys wanna, do it.
Yeah. Okay. And sometimes I feel so convicted because, like, I'm trying to get my kids in bed, like, and this is really bad, even when they're praying. Like, sometimes for me, this is just my selfish nature, and I'm being honest.
You're
like,
naughty.
Please, Are you almost done yet? You know, like when you're really tired, you've had the day, it's the same prayer you've heard 100 times at night. But instead of taking the time to serve my kid in that moment, my selfish nature comes in and I don't. And my kids, and sometimes your kids can feel it. Your kids can feel when you're rushing them. They can tell the difference from when you're serving them to when you just want them, you want it done. You want them quiet. You want it, you know, for your good. You know, and I think that's where it's good to be. Even when we're tired, even when we've had it with a kid, that we're still mindful of what God has called us to be in serving our kids. Serving is hard work, but it's worth it. It produces things that last. So,
Then the last thing I wanted to talk about in this section was just the idea of parents in prayer for their kids. So one area that I think is so important for parents to love and serve their kids is to have a prayer life kind of specifically for their kids, meaning you know, I'm hoping we're praying, you know, but that we would actually be taking time daily or close to it specifically for our kids, for our family. And if you're, you know, a husband, hopefully for your wife, and your wife, you know, for your husband. So some just practical examples that we've focused on for our kids, and first and foremost, the most common prayer that we have about our kids is that God would have grace and mercy on us for all the things we don't do perfectly. And again, that goes back to the gospel, that God wants to bless, God wants to give, God wants to do more than we do. And so we trust and rely on that. And we even, you know, say it specifically, like, you know, let's say this Eden example, you know, to be praying, like, God, help us to step up here. And also, you know, don't penalize her for our lack of taking responsibility. You know, God, you come through, you do it. And then in prayer, you know, as our kids get older, as we see certain, you know, character traits or what's going on, again, to have that attitude of serving rather than expecting to be served. So let's say, for example, my son lacks self-control or patience or whatever else, that instead of taking that and getting frustrated and getting an expectation of, man, he should get it together, that thing becomes what I'm going to be praying specifically to God on his behalf for him. You know, that God would give him patience and love and care and help him to have self-control, which actually is an example of one of my kids that we pray for often. And each of our kids, you know, I have certain things that I notice in their character, that either they're lacking in trust with God or the relationship with maybe us or each other, that we're pinpointing and we're saying, these are things we want to be praying for daily. You know, whether we're praying together or, you know, like before work or whatever, that there's things that we're praying for, you know. So, you know, it can be for whining, it can be for anything. And it can also be just that God would get a hold of them. You know, so there's been many times that some of my kids have struggled with fear for a time, or you know, have had nightmares for times, or whatever else, and that they would see Christ as being able to get them through it, being able to do something in their life. And so that goal of having them have faith in Christ can be achieved through putting faith in Christ through whatever circumstance. And there's many different things that we've prayed for our kids at different times. So also for like our girls, we pray that I pray just as a dad, you know, that they would have a understanding of how Christ views them, you know, as valuable and beautiful, and that when they get older, they're only 5 and 4 now, but when they get older, they won't seek that in a guy. You know, as you see many young girls do. So there's all different things that as you're praying and just wanting to serve your kids, that you have that realization and take it to the Lord in prayer, and you serve your kids that way.
I was going to say, too, another time for me, when you're having a really difficult time with a child and you know your heart's not right towards them, I mean, I've had many seasons where I just plain don't like a kid. I know that sounds harsh, but there's days where, especially now that my kids are getting older and we are dealing with more attitude and, you know, it becomes more emotional, especially from the mom side of view. I think we just tend to be more emotional with our kids' misbehavior. And I think when we come to a place of prayer, it brings our heart back to the right place, like God does a work. So I think that prayer is completely necessary in parenting in a godly way. We have to be praying for our hearts and for our children's hearts, that, you know, the enemy doesn't disrupt what God wants to be doing, you know, and even praying for protection. I mean, we live in a world where the world is going to want to pull our kids in so many directions, and it just creeps in just little subtle ways, but can do some major damage, and that we pray protection over our kids. We pray that the Lord sends his angels. I always pray it to guard my kids, to walk around them. And I even like to envision that sometimes when I'm having a hard time and I don't necessarily see the end results, because I can see the wickedness in my kid's heart. I just even pray that the Lord would send his angels to stand guard around my kids. So that's another way to look at it.
All right, so we'll end by just going back to that first verse that we read. And hopefully this gave you guys some framework that we're gospel-centered, and the outflow of that is that we're loving and serving our kids. So this is Jesus again in Matthew 20, 25-28. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be the greatest among you must be your servant, and whoever would be the first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. So just that we would serve our kids. Did you guys have any questions? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that just for all the people in this room, Lord, and all the kids represented, and your love and your grace and your mercy in our lives, Lord. We ask that you would help us to serve our children, to put their interests before our own, Lord, as we serve you. And that means sometimes doing hard work and doing things that aren't comfortable and doing things that maybe we just don't plain out want to do. And I ask that you give us grace to do those things. You'd help us to serve them, to love them, to care for them. And we pray that as they receive that love, that they would understand it's from you ultimately, and they would turn their hearts to you. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So tomorrow we're going to tackle two things, discipline and instruction. And so if you guys have any questions that you guys would want us to try to tackle tomorrow, come up, let us know. We'll keep it anonymous if there's some questions that you don't want to have out that you asked, and we'll be here tomorrow. So 9:30 to 11:30. Anything else? All right. Thanks, guys.